Welcome to Jeremiah Smith Ministries, a place where you can grow in God's Word. Mark 11:23, he says, "For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith." So we were talking about here that, you know, we have mountains in our lives. Sometimes people have big mountains in their lives, big challenges, things you can't even see over. Amen. Challenges, you know, that you have in your lives, and the issues that you have in your life that you need to get out of your life. And Jesus tells us here that we can get those things out of our lives. Amen. We don't have to live with things that are keeping us, you know, bound or keep us from getting to the dream or goal that we have. And we just need to be reaching for the things that we need to be reaching for, and you know, and trusting God and using our faith confession to come through it. Amen. God will bring us through it, but we got to believe God that that mountain will be removed in our lives. Amen. So it's important, you know, that you know that any mountain in your life, God can remove it. Amen. It doesn't matter what mountain it is. Amen. You may say this is an impossible situation. Well, no, it's not impossible for God. God can move a mountain in your life, but you've got to be a person that, you know, that's willing to use their faith. Amen. So we talked about that here, that Jesus is talking about moving impossible objects. So those of you that have impossible objects in your life, there is hope for you. Amen. You may feel like you don't have hope, but there is hope for you today. Praise the Lord. The hope is that God will remove that mountain with your words. Amen. As you believe in him and believe in his word, that he'll remove that mountain in your life. Praise the Lord, that is hindering you. Praise God. And he will do that. Let's look at our other opening scripture here, Romans, the 4th chapter and the 17th verse. It says, "As is written, I have made thee a father of many nations," talking about Abraham. Amen. And his situation was impossible. He wasn't able to bear a son, but God started calling him father of many nations. Amen. And when he started speaking that and getting the picture on the inside of him, amen, that mountain was removed. He was able to have children. Amen. This is for before him who believed, even God who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. That's what God says. He says that he calls those things that be not as though they were, you know. And I like how it says in Romans 4:17, the Amplified, it says here, it says, "As is written in the scripture, he hath made thee father of many nations in the sight of him in whom we believe." That is God who gives life to the dead and calls into being those things which do not exist. Amen. So he calls into being those things that exist. And he's doing that with us today. Amen. He's calling into some being some things that don't exist. Some people aren't saved, and I believe they're clicking on here by accident. And God's calling in those things that be not as though they exist. And so I believe God is touching people and reaching out to them and helping them out. Today, people are getting saved. I believe even today when I'm speaking, praise the Lord, they clicked on here by accident, and God's calling you out into be the things that he's calling you to, calling the things that be that into existence that don't exist. Amen. He's calling you out. Amen. And so, he loves people, and he wants them to be saved, and he's calling you into salvation today and to be in the Lord's army. Amen. And so he's doing that for you. Praise the Lord. And so he calls those things. And today we're going to be talking about confession. And I'm sorry if I've kind of went off a little bit there. They've been telling me that they've had a little bit of technical difficulty there, but it looks like we'll get that straightened out. But today we're going to be talking about confession versus our feeling, and confession as far as sin today. So get your Bible. Let's go over to Proverbs 29. We're going to look at that. We were just looking at our opening scriptures there. Proverbs 29:11. Let's look at that real quick here. Proverbs 29:11. Amen. So he calls us into being. Amen. I believe he did. You know, he called you for a reason. He calls those people that are listening today that are listening for the first time. He's called you for a reason. He has a purpose for you. You didn't just happen to get on this planet. You just didn't have. You say, "Well, man, my parents didn't mean to have me." No, they did. They didn't mean to have you, but God had you here for a reason. God's the one actually created you. You're not your outward man. You're the inward man. You know, he put a spirit in that body. And those spirits our spirits come from heaven, amen, and they all come with a purpose, amen. Every one of us, we're all different, unique, and our kind, and he called you with a purpose. Every person that's listening, he's made you with a purpose, and he's got a special purpose for you, amen, and he wants you to fulfill that purpose in your life. Proverbs 29:11, and we're talking about confession versus our feeling, and confession as far as sin, we'll be talking about that. Proverbs 29:11 says, a fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it until afterwards. Think about that. A fool uttereth all his mind. You ever met somebody like that? They don't care about what they say, but they're going to say everything that's on their mind. I've met several people like that. I've worked in several different places, and I've met several people who don't mind saying everything that's on their mind, you know. But it says a wise man keepeth it till afterwards. That's interesting, isn't it? It's important that you're watching your words, not just uttering everything that's on your mind. Proverbs 29:11, we're going to read a few different versions here. It says, in the Amplified, it says, a short-sighted fool always loses his temper and displays his anger. Wow. He says a short-sighted person is a person that displays their feelings. Amen. But a wise man uses self-control and holds it back. So he's saying that a person that just expresses all their feeling is a short person, a short-term person. Don't you want to be a long-term person? A person that wants a long consistency? A person that wants longevity and good things in their lives and blessings in their lives. Well, it's important that you're not just speaking everything that's on your mind or going by your feelings. Amen. Proverbs 29:11, the Message says, a fool lets it all hang out. I like that. Isn't that interesting how the Message says that? A sage quietly mulls it over. Think about that. He says a fool lets it all hang out. Wow, that's powerful, isn't it? So a person that just says everything that's on their mind is a fool that lets it all hang out. And a sage is a person that quietly mulls it over. And I was trying to get to this version because this is my favorite out of all of them. Proverbs 29:11 in the Passion Translation. And I've told you about the Passion Translation. If you get a chance, you ought to get you one and take a look at the Passion Translation. It says, you can recognize fools by the way they give full vent to their rage and let their words fly. Wow. Think about that. He says, you can recognize a fool by the way that they give full vent to their rage and let their words fly. You know, your words should be more valuable than you just letting them fly. It's important that you don't just say everything that's on your mind. It's important that we're saying things that God wants us to say. But the wise men bite their tongue and hold back all they could say. Wow, that's powerful too. And it says, but the wise bite their tongue and hold back all they could say. So it's important that we don't just say everything we're feeling. Amen. It's important that we're saying what God would have us to say. You say, well, why is that important? Yeah, it's very important because when you're speaking, you're producing the things that you're speaking. Amen. Life and death are in the power of your tongue. You're speaking things and create your mouth is a creative force that God has created us to have. Amen. And you're producing the things that you're speaking out of your mouth. And so it's important that you don't just say just anything because you're creating the wrong things if you're saying the things that have to do with your feelings. Amen. Everything that you feel, you know, I'm not saying that everybody's perfect. You know, I'm not saying that just the other day I said something I wish I hadn't said, you know, but you know, we can work on it every day and get better and better at it every day. Amen. I went to a drive-thru the other day. And I'm just telling you this because I want you to know that I'm not perfect. I went through a drive-thru the other day and I was talking to a guy and this young gentleman came up to my car and he brought me a drink. And I mean, there was drink all over the outside of this cup. He had Coke all over the side of the cup, you know. And I'm like, wow, he didn't even wipe it off before he brought it to me. And he brings it to me and I said, what? You know, and I kind of went off on the young gentleman, just a young kid, you know. And then I felt bad when I left, you know. But, you know, of course, he wiped it up with his hand, you know. He didn't even grab a napkin. And he just wiped off the side of the drink, you know, because he's young. But, you know, and I've worked in that type of business, so I know how that is. You don't need someone ruining your day coming through there just speaking whatever is on their mind. But, you know, we have to be careful about that. We shouldn't be speaking whatever's on our mind. Amen. We need people that care. We need to be people that care about our words. Amen. I like this again in Proverbs 29:11, the Passion Translation. Let's read it one more time before we go on. It says, you can recognize fools by the way they give full vent to their rage and let their words fly. Wow, you don't want to be recognized like that, do you? He says, but the wise bite their tongue and hold back all they could say. I just love that. A person that's wise is a person that watches his words, amen? A person that cares about what they have to say. Notice our confession is not to be guided by how we feel, amen? There's so much that we can be guided by, but we don't need to be guided by our feelings, amen? We need to be guided by God's word in everything that we do, amen? And it's important that we make sure that we're hearkening unto his word, amen? And that, you know, the more word you have in you, the better, the easier it is. You know, the less word you have in you, the harder it is, you know. It's easier to recall scriptures if you'd been meditating on them the morning when you started, you know. It's easier to think about the things you need to be thinking about. What's a fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. It's easy to think about those if you've been meditating on them. But if you haven't been meditating on them, then it's harder, you know. And so it's important that we control our words and we're acting in love, amen. And we're speaking the things that God wants us to speak because, like I said, we are producing our destiny by what we say. Notice our confession is not to be guided by how we feel, but by God's word. Are you letting the words being governed by how you feel today? I just told you, I just did this week, you know, so you need to be sure that you're careful on how you're guiding your words, amen. You want to speak good things, you know. I don't want to speak bad things about another person even, you know, by saying some things that just come flying off the cuff. You can speak some bad things over a person that you don't want to speak, you know, and our words are powerful, amen. You know, you want to speak good things over other people that are good, amen. And the enemy just loves to get you to say the wrong things because he, you know, you're giving him room to work when you speak the wrong things. Amen. You know, when you speak things that aren't aligned with God's word, you're giving him room to work, and he loves it when you speak the wrong things. That's why it's important that we're speaking the things that God wants us to speak. Do you feel saved today? Well, you know, I mean, did you get up? Did you feel saved? Well, that doesn't mean you sit there and say everything like you're not saved just because you don't feel saved this morning. How do you overcome those feelings? Well, you know, you need to speak God's word, amen, over your feelings. Revelation, let's go to the 12th chapter real quick. Revelation 12, and we're going to go to Revelation 12, 10. And it says in Revelation 12, 10, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Wow. You talk about accuser. He accuses us day and night. Wow. Think about that, you know. He's telling you how he works. Enemies, he's so persistent. He works day and night. He's talking to you day and night, isn't he? You know, people think that he just gives up easy. This is showing you right here that he's not a person that gives up easy, or he's not an angel that gives up easy, is he? He says he's accusing us day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by what? The word of their testimony, that they loved not their lives unto death. Now, it's important that we understand that if we're going to overcome the enemy, the way you overcome him is by the words that you're speaking, amen, and not our feelings, amen. It didn't say that we overcome him by our feelings, did it? No. It says that we overcame him by the words that we're speaking, amen, about the blood of the Lamb. And so, you know, it's important that you're speaking the things that, you know, that God wants us to speak and not how you feel. You know, you think about it, if you're speaking how you feel, you're not overcoming. You know, you're not going to overcome the enemy by telling him how you feel, you know. I remember I saw this shirt not long ago on this gentleman. I believe he was a wrestler. And I heard about this shirt. And it was, he was in this group of Christians, and they were witnessing to people, and he had a shirt, and it said, Satan sucks. Well, that may be how he feels about the enemy. That may be how he feels about him. But, you know, that's not the kind of thing that gets him to do what you want him to do. You know, you need to speak the things that need to be spoke, not our feelings, amen? We need to be telling him what he needs to be doing. And, you know, the Bible says resist the enemy and he'll flee, you know? So it has to do with what we're saying. And if we tell him what to do, he's going to go, praise the Lord. But, you know, it has to do with what you're saying, you know? And we need to be saying what we need to be saying, not how we feel, praise the Lord. We need to be saying what God says and not how we feel. Let's look at Psalms, the 119. Real quick, 103. Psalms 119, 103. And it says here in Psalms 119, 103, it says, how sweet are thy words unto my taste. Oh, I like that. God's words are sweet to the taste, aren't they? Amen. They're refreshing. Now, there's a scripture talks about this. He says, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Think about that. You know, they're like honey to you. You ever tasted some good honey? Praise the Lord. I like some good honey. I like it when my wife puts them in some cookies. I like honey, praise the Lord. But you know, God's words are sweet to the taste. They're sweet as honey. Amen. They're refreshing. Amen. And you know, when you're speaking those things, those are refreshing to your life. You're speaking life to your situations. You're speaking sweet things to your life. Amen. You're causing sweet things to happen in your life, you know, but when you're not speaking his words, you're speaking things that you, and you're speaking how you feel about the situation. You're not speaking sweet things into your situation. Praise the Lord. It's important that we're speaking God's word. God's words are sweet and should be valued in your life. Amen. We need to value what we're saying. Did you know the enemy knows how important your words are? Think about that. He knows how important they are. Recently, me and my son, we went to a little store, and they're known for having all kinds of little items, you know, for about $5 or less or whatever. I just love to go in there with my son. It's just fun. And we go in there, and we were looking at some things, you know, and I noticed they have a set of books out there. Most of them are centered towards kids, and this one was centered towards kids, and it was a book of spells. You know, so the enemy would love a little kid to get up, pick that up and start speaking those things. They're in that book, you know, and they're not good things. They're spells, you know, but he makes them look good, you know, but he wants to get you to say the things he wants you to say, you know, and he'll do something crafty like that. He likes to get the, even when you're young, start getting you that direction, speaking the things you shouldn't speak. Why? Because he wants your destiny to go the way he wants your destiny to go. But when you're speaking God's word, you're starting to get your destiny going the right way, like that rudder on that ship going the right way. You know, that's why the enemy hates it when you start speaking God's word, praise the Lord. You know, songs do that too. There's lots of songs that can hinder you, you know, and get you to speak them. You think you're just singing a song, but you're speaking words, you know. And after a while, you speak a song after so long, you start believing what you're saying. Then, you know, the Bible talks about, you know, we just read there Mark 11. It's important with what you're believing, what you say. Those are the things that come to pass, and you got to be careful about that. I remember when I was in high school, there was this band that I used to listen to. Yeah, because I didn't know better, but I listened to the band all the time in high school, and then one of their songs that they had on the album was called "I Hate Myself and I Want to Die." Now he said it over and over in the song, "I Hate Myself and I Want to Die." You just say it over and over and over, and let me just let you know that's a bad confession to have every day. You know, that's a bad thing to be speaking over your situations every day. But you know, if you get to where you're saying those things and you just get to singing that same song, that's why it's important to speak, listen to faith-filled messages and faith songs, and to be speaking those things. You know, whatever's in you is going to come out. You know, the Bible talks about that. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So whatever you're putting in is going to come out. You want to make sure that you're putting good word in, praise the Lord, so that it comes out, you know, when you need it. You know, putting healing in comes out when you need healing. Putting prosperity scriptures come in, you know, those will come out when you need, and you know, God to help you in those situations. So it's important that you're putting in the right things, you know, and meditating on the right things, because that's what you're going to speak. And you want to make sure that you're speaking the right things. Let's look over. We're going to talk a few minutes here and go a little bit different direction. We're going to talk about confession as far as sin. Let's go over to 1 John 1:9. I believe it's a scripture that everybody's familiar with. 1 John 1:9. Now, I'm going to talk about these things, and I might kick over a few sacred cows, but I want you to learn a few things as I talk about them today. 1 John 1:9. Now, a lot of people look at this scripture and they interpret it as that you need to confess every sin in your life, you know. And, you know, that's just about impossible, as many things that you do in a day, you know. But it's important that you actually see what this is saying here. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Well, that word confession there is homologio. And what it means, homo means same, and legio means to speak. Now say that with me. Homo means same, and legio means to speak. which means to speak the same thing. Now, that's not what your normal word for confession, is it? He says to speak the same thing. And so what he's saying here is, so we're to say the same thing as what God says about our sin. So when you read that scripture, you should read it like this. You should read, if we confess what God's or what he says about our sins, he's faithful to just and forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we're to say what God has to say about our sins. Amen. Just like we've been talking about before, we should be saying what God wants us to say. And that's what he's saying here. Confess what God wants us to say about our sins. Amen. You know, so when you sin, what should you do? Well, let's look over at Acts, the 10th chapter here in the 43rd verse. We're supposed to say what God says about our sins. What's he say about our sins? It says in Acts 10:43, it says, to him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. Is that the same thing as what that scripture says that we were looking at there before, that religiously people look at? No, he's saying remission of sins. Well, what's remission mean? Well, we're going to look at that and we'll define that in a minute. Let's look at Hebrews 10 here real quick. Hebrews 10, the 10th verse. And he says here in Hebrews 10:10, he says, by the which we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. Amen. So you confessing over and over and over is not taking away your sin. You're supposed to say what God wants you to say about your sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Whereof the Holy Ghost also is our witness to us, for after that he had said before. Now notice what he said here, by one offering. He perfected forever them that are sanctified. So it was taken care of through the remission of sins. Well, what does remission mean? Well, let's look at remission. Remission means, if you look it up in the Greek, it means dismissal and release. So he's released you of sin and you've been dismissed of sin. So we're supposed to be saying what God would have us to say about our sin. We're supposed to say, well, you know, let's say you've messed up today. Well, your confession, and we're talking about confession, it should be saying what God wants you to say about it. You should say, I'm the forgiven, praise the Lord. Well, you say, well, that don't sound like what most people say. Well, that's not, you know, maybe it sounds religious to other people to say it the other ways, but this way, though, you're supposed to be saying what God says. You're supposed to be saying, God, I just thank you that I'm forgiven, praise the Lord. Amen. Say what God has to say. He don't remember it anyway, praise the Lord. And you sitting there telling him all about it doesn't help him, you know. He wants you to say what he has you to say. He wants you to say, you're the forgiven, praise the Lord, just like you would with healing, right? If you're going to talk about healing today, he's already paid for healing. You would say, I'm the healed of the Lord. Amen. That's what you would say. You wouldn't say, well, I'm getting better. You know, you say what has already been paid for. You know, when you're talking about sin, you say, I'm the forgiven, praise the Lord. That's what you confess. And another popular scripture when it comes to that, let's look over at James 5:16. James 5:16. Let's look at another confession here. A lot of people talk about. In the 16th verse, now I'm not saying that you don't repent. That's another situation, you know. That's another subject altogether. But your confession should be what God said about you. Amen. Everything that, you know, we're talking about confession, it should be what God says about you. James, the 5th chapter in the 16th verse says, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed, that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. This word, confession, in the Greek is exmo oligo, which means profess, promise, or agree fully. Well, that's not what most people talk about when they read that scripture, is it? But it has to do with the word confession, isn't it? So basically, it should read, agree full with God about your faults one to another, or confess, profess, promise your faults to one another. So basically, he's saying, confess what God has to say about your sins to one another. You don't go over and tell your friend, you know, hey, I just robbed a bank. What good is that doing your friend? You know, and what good is that doing to you? And how is that bringing healing to your life? No, you want to say what God has you to say about your situation. You want to confess to them, hey, I'm the healed of the Lord. I'm the forgiven of the Lord. Amen. I'm the prosperous of the Lord. That's what you're confessing one another to, confessing to one another, and that has to do with the word confession, and what happens is a lot of times people don't realize in context what these things are saying, and they don't realize what in the Greek the word confession means. But it's important that you understand your confession has to do with what God has, what God wants you to say, and that's what you're supposed to be saying. Amen. In every situation, we're supposed to say what God would have us to say. You say, well, I'm the head and not the tail. I'm the top and not the bottom. I'm above and not beneath. I always triumph through Christ Jesus. I'm the righteousness in Christ Jesus. Amen. But if you're sitting there having a sin conscience and you're sitting there counting every sin that you do, amen, that's hard to sit there and say, I'm the righteousness in Christ, or I'm the forgiven. That's not what he's trying to have you to do. He wants you to confess what he wants you to say about your sin, or he wants you to confess what he wants you to say about your sin. Amen, that Jesus paid for it all. I like what Andrew Walmick says about it. He says he paid for past, present, and future sins. Amen. And that's what he did. He paid for it one time. He took care of it all with one sacrifice, with Jesus Christ. Amen. Nothing more could have been paid for your sins, amen, except for Jesus Christ. And he didn't atone for it. There's actually a scripture that a lot of people use in the New Testament, and it's called atonement. And that scripture, that word atonement, actually doesn't even mean that if you look it up in the Greek. And if it did, it would mean he just covered your sin, but he didn't. He remitted them. Remission's used 10 times in the Bible and the New Testament, and it's used over and over and over because they want you to understand what he did is he dismissed it. He released it. You're free from sin. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. So, you need to make sure that you're confessing I'm the forgiven. Praise the Lord. I'm the free. Amen. I'm free, for who the Son sets free is free indeed. And I'm free. Amen. But it has a lot to do with what you're saying. Amen. If you want to be free, you need to be saying it. If you want to be the righteousness in Christ Jesus, you need to be saying it. If you want to be the forgiven, you need to be saying it. Amen. Because that's what God has done for you. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for your goodness, and we thank you for your mercy, Father. I hope some people got some things out of what I was talking about today, Father, and I ask that you help them, Father, as these seeds are planted. Help them to grow in their lives. Help them to study them out and look at them in their lives, Father. Help them see the things that you're doing in their lives, and help them, Lord, to grow in you, Father. And Father, we just ask, Lord, that you touch them right now, Father. There's some people today, Lord, that have been bound, Father, and we just ask that you help them to be free today in Jesus' name. And Father, we just thank you, Father. And if there's someone out there that doesn't know Jesus, and we've been talking about confession, this is the greatest confession you can do with all your life right here, right now. Praise the Lord. The Bible says if we confess Jesus is Lord, he'll be Lord of our lives. Amen. And all we have to do is believe God has raised Jesus from the dead. So pray this with me if you'd like to have Jesus in your life. Father, I just confess that Jesus is Lord of my life. And Father, I just believe you've raised Jesus from the dead. Jesus, help me today to be, help me today work in my life today in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer, you are saved today. Praise the Lord. And God's got some wonderful things for you. Welcome to the family. Praise God. We're so glad you're in the family with us. And if you would, you can email us at jeremiahsministries@yahoo.com. We'd love to hear from you. And we just love you a whole bunch. God bless you. And I hope that you have a wonderful day. If you'd like to contact us for prayer, praise reports, or offerings, go to jeremiahsmithministries.podbean.com. Thank you for listening.